Welcome to Gracefully, your field guide to growing old. I'm Lisa Napoli in Los Angeles.
You know, we plan so much for birth and we don't plan for death. It's mind-boggling to me.
Amy Pickard learned the hard way that there's much more to the end of life than grief.
When my mom died unexpectedly, I had to fly back to Chicago where she lived and to take care of all of the death duties and become a detective, basically, because I didn't know if she had a will. I couldn't answer any of the questions. The morgue was calling me and saying, what do you want us to do with her? And I said, I don't know. I don't know if mom's got cremation instructions somewhere on your office or on her laptop. You know, it was just a nightmare to scramble for the answers that I so desperately needed. And then you're grieving on top of that. You know, you're going through this deep cosmic pain and there's all of this information that you need that you don't have answers to. So it was just a nightmare.
Adding to the trial by fire, Amy found herself suddenly in charge of the care of her beloved grandmother who lived back in her native Ohio. She found herself cleaning out her grandmother's house, where she'd lived for 50 years, in order to help pay for her care in a nursing home.
I just wished that there was like an instruction manual to help me navigate this crazy time, and there wasn't.
So she wrote one. It's called Good to Go, a detailed guide, nearly 50 pages long, that spells out all the questions we need to ask ourselves before we get sick. She's heard all the excuses people make about not writing a will because she used to make them herself.
I thought only rich people need wills, you know, and I'm single, I'm 49, and I don't own a home. And basically the only thing I own is a used car. But then it kind of struck me after my mom died and granny died and all the death duties, somebody's got to come into my apartment and dismantle it and go through my bills and cancel them and cancel my credit cards and things like that. And I don't want to leave a mess for my friends who aren't related to me, you know? And so I say, if you're 18 and over and you live away from home, you live away from your parents, you have to at least get a living will.
Also known as an advanced directive, which spells out what you want to have happen if you're in an accident and you're unable to make decisions for yourself.
But then you also need to write down, what's your landlord's name? When do you pay rent? You know, like if you passed away on the 5th of the month and rent was due, you know, on the 6th, you need to pay that rent for a month and get in touch with the landlord and say so-and-so has passed away or whatever. You know, right. You need to take care of business. And it's just going to cut down on the detective work for your family if you write things down, like your social media passwords and even a very base. People think if they just relay a basic truth, which is, oh, I want to be cremated. There's a million questions that come with cremation that nobody knows about. What do you want to be put in? Do you want your ashes sprinkled somewhere? Do you want to witness cremation? You know, when do you want to be cremated? Do you want to be cremated directly after you die? Do you want to service first and then cremate? I mean, it's just a million things. And people just think, oh, you know, I'm going to be dead. It doesn't, you know, I don't care.
And what is the answer to that?
The answer is you've got to think about it and you've got to talk to people about your wishes. If nothing else, just talking and having those conversations and going to your parents or grandparents and saying, you know, hey, I just thought of something. You guys don't know what I want and I don't know what you want. So let's talk about it. You know, it's just having the conversation and then taking the next step and writing it down.
Now, Amy isn't a lawyer, but she acts as a counselor or coach for people who have no idea how to begin navigating these thorny questions. She holds a weekly chat on Facebook called Grievers and Groovers, and she also gets the word out in what you might think is an unlikely place, parties.
They've been described as death Tupperware parties. So someone hosts a party and they invite, I call it their soul cluster, whether it's their best friends or their family or their parents. And everyone brings a potluck dish to share. And I like to ask them to have it based on a recipe of a loved one because I always feel closer to my mom and granny when I make the recipes. I understand that life is busy. So if you don't have time to bake Aunt Martha's lemon cake, you can go to Ralph's and get one and bring it. That's okay.
It's the spirit.
Yeah.
That counts.
And then everyone brings cocktails or whatever kind of alcohol they want, because I want to take the pressure off of the host to host a big party. You know, I want to make it as easy for them as possible. So everyone is self-sufficient. They bring their own stuff. And then we have a rock and roll death theme soundtrack, because I worked in the music business and I love rock and roll. So you have to have that to kind of lighten the mood. And then I guide them through a living will, and then the booklet that, you know, took me a year to write with all the questions in it. It's called the Good to Go Advanced Death Care Directive, or as my friends call it, the Cosmic Instruction Manual. And we just go over it, and I share my experiences and what I've come across, and, you know, my travels with hospice and nursing homes and, you know, the death world and things like that. It's not somber. It's not depressing. And that's the thing that's most surprising by people who attend. They say, oh my gosh, we left feeling euphoric that we were living. And that's it. It's like, I help you plan for your worst case scenario, but have fun doing it. Because while it's still abstract, it's not as scary.
What is it that people don't understand? Is it just that we don't want to confront death, or the fact that I could be in a state where someone might have to make a decision not to revive me?
Yeah, it's a scary thing. I think the unknown in anything is scary. And I just think that we're conditioned. Our society is conditioned to be afraid of death and to look at it as something negative and horrible and awful. And don't get me wrong, when death visits you, it is horrible and awful, and you do grieve, and it's the deepest, most cosmic pain that you'll ever feel. However, it's part of life, and it is part of everything. And, you know, I was just talking with a friend about how artists seem to, you know, write about it and things like that, but it's something that we don't think about in our practical everyday lives, you know, whereas, especially from what I do think of it every day, but it actually elevates me to live a better life, to pack everything in, to not take things for granted, to appreciate the love that I have in my life. And, you know, I've had a lot of people who are superstitious and say, well, I don't want to fill out my advanced planning because then I'm going to die. And I just like, have you ever played the lottery? Did you win? You know, it's just writing this stuff down isn't going to make you die. And I even spoke to someone yesterday and I said, you really need to get your parents good to go, or at least, you know, talk to them about it. And he said, yeah, but it's a lot for me to handle. And it's scary. You know, everybody I've talked to about my parents passing away, you know, they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do when that happens. I don't know how. You're so brave. I don't know how you do it. And it's just like, guess what? It's going to happen. You know, sorry to bring the party, but
it's not if, it's
yeah,
when.
Exactly. So I just think I think it's society. We hide it away, and we're so obsessed with youth, and youth is the, you know, the utopian existence. And once you hit a certain age, you're useless, you know? And I think if movies and entertainment showed, you know, older people aging in a positive way, you know, I think it would be less scary.
In fact, while I'm sitting here, I'm thinking somebody should make a TV show about you, because it would be really great. The death lady, you know,
right,
the
right.
Parties alone, if people would have frank conversations, I think people, that's what people need, is to hear it.
It's all about communicating, and these are the deeper conversations. It's, as a songwriter friend of mine calls it, the river beneath the river. You know, that's what's going to bring you the most comfort, the most nutrition, the most, you know, love, is communicating with your family, what they want, what you want.
Amy was surprised when her father asked to come to one of her good to go parties.
And then a year later, he got pneumonia and went into the hospital, spent 6 days in the ICU, and he passed away due to sepsis. And it was so sudden and so crazy. And but in those 6 days in the ICU, I was rock solid with everything he wanted, because he'd come to the party. We had gotten him good to go. We filled out the booklet together. We put on some 50s music. We had a few beers, ordered some pizza. And he even said, you know, oh, I can see how this is more fun to do this while I'm here instead of, you know, if I'm not, you know. And it just helped me focus on the love we had for each other. It helped, you know, my grief. And we basically closed his estate or all of the donkey work surrounding it in 3 months. Whereas with my mom, it took a year and a half. With my granny, it took 2 years because there was a court case with estranged relatives and all this crazy stuff. And it just gave me so much peace to know that it was taken care of, and then everything was taken care of. And then what surprised me the most was it gave my dad the peace to transition, to let go. And he was intubated, so he couldn't communicate. But I said to him, you know that everything's taken care of, right? And he nodded. And I could just see the peace on his face, you know? So it kind of blows my mind to think that the company that I created to help others actually helped me.
She's on a mission now to keep spreading the word about end-of-life planning.
I'm a communicator anyway. I'm an extrovert, so I say talk. And for people who say to me, well, I don't have that kind of relationship with my parents or friends or loved ones or whatever, I say, use me. Good cop, bad cop. I'm not afraid to go there. I'll go there.
Yep.
You know? And yes. I even had an older client. Her name was Jean. She was in her 80s and she said, when I die, I don't care what my kids do and they can figure it out, you know. And I was like, Jean, listen to me. You know, I said, one conversation you had with your daughter might be different than the conversation you had with your son. And your son might say, well, wait a minute. I want that hutch. Mom said I could have it. No, she said to me on the trip to Florida, I could have it. You know, and I said, you've got to make these decisions. You've got to give them guidance, you know. Because obviously no one wants to think about their loved ones not being here anymore and what they're going through. But then it also can just be unbelievably revelatory, wow. You know? So you learn so much about your family that way. It's just a great way to kind of open up, you know, the conversation.
Amy Pickard is the founder of Good to Go. To see some pictures and to learn more about her work, please visit our website, gracefullyradio.com. If you've got suggestions for future stories, you can find out how to send them to me there, too. I'm Lisa Napoli in Los Angeles. Thanks for listening to Gracefully.